News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome back to Bowerly and Bellavia. Tom is off about another week, actually, so we'll get him back in a week and we'll be here together for that time. We're talking about this story in Lewiston, three adults having parties, underage kids, thinking, you know, maybe this is a good idea. Maybe, just maybe, we can have parental control over our kids as they drink, have sex, and smoke weed. Well, the law disagrees, and they frowned on that, and now we've got charges on three adults, a married couple, and it appears to be a parent of another child. We got some texts in that one of the parents is an attorney in Lewiston, and the other is the allegedly the 17-year-old that was in attendance charged with a bunch of sex charges. That is one of the three adults' children, one of the sons. Again, these are all coming from the text board. So, you know, allegedly is around. We're throwing that word around like crazy. Kim in Buffalo, who hasn't used the word allegedly, she has a situation where she has a cottage in Ontario, and she raises her kids. She trusts her kids. They know what right is. They know what wrong is. And they're not one of the parents that treat alcohol like it's some, you know, never touch it. You won't do it. Trying to raise the kids to be responsible adults, which is sort of the point of being a parent, by the way. And Kim is basically saying, look, this is because Canada has different laws. And I want to know what's going on. And if you lie to me, I will trust you until you lie to me. And I think that's a pretty good standard as a mom or dad. Kim.
Yes.
Is that a pretty good defense of your position?
It is.
And again, I mean, what more can you expect? Now, you don't mind what's at the... You just want to know what's going on so you could, some you know, you could mitigate any of the damage that could happen without you being there.
Right. Exactly. And I do have neighbors around the area checking up on them. So
you have drones in the sky?
Yes, I do.
Just in case.
Yep.
Hey, it's always about trust but verify, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
I was telling you, you were saying about the weed, and I was saying that my son was doing some activity in school because he was running for cross-country. And they were running around the school with cross-country running, and he found some in the field. And I asked him if he took it to a teacher, and he said no, he was afraid that he would get in trouble thinking that it was his.
Right.
And I said, so what did you do to it? He goes, I threw it over the ravine.
Hmm.
I said, okay.
Well, better than find it in his glove compartment, right?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean.
That's why I said okay. I mean.
Yeah.
Was afraid to do it one way, but he trusted me enough to tell me,
right,
and tell me what his outcome was. And
hey, listen, what do you want? What more can you ask for your kids, right?
Nothing.
That's all you can get. I mean, what that story? I never would have told my mother that story because I would have been afraid that she wouldn't have believed me and said, "Okay, what's the roaches? What are the roaches doing in the lunchbox?" Then, you know what I mean. But you have a different relationship, and you're raising your kids right, and I applaud you for that, Kim.
Well, thank you very much.
Good job. Kim in Buffalo doing her job as a mom, trusting her kids. Here's someone I have no trust. That's Texas Terry. This is a gentleman, served in Ramadi from Buffalo, now lives in Texas as an HVAC guy, and is very, very proud of that profession to the point where he'll text in every once in a while. Anytime I'm thanking law enforcement, first responders, Texas Terry's good for a, what about the HVAC guy? What's up, Terry?
Not too much, man. I'll tell you what, as far as hosting those types of parties go, that's a big no-go at this station.
The big no-go? Wait a minute. In Texas, though, everything happens, though, right? You got, you know, that's the free Republic of Texas there. If your children decided, hey, Dad, listen, I want to have a bunch of friends over, and we want to smoke a little weed and drink a little alcohol, maybe you could supervise. What does Texas Terry and Mrs. Texas Terry say?
No, that's a H-E-double hockey stick to the knot. It's not going to happen. Wouldn't allow it. And, you know, the flip side of that coin, man, if I found out that another adult was contributing to, like, the delinquency of my children.
Right. The delinquency of my children. I love that.
Yeah, we'd be visiting about that. You know, somebody's going in the Hucklebuck for that, for sure.
I'm confused at that reference. But here's where I'm coming from, Terry. You don't want your kids in that situation. I totally understand that. But do you understand the mindset of an adult that is trying to say, it's going to happen anyway, let it happen in my house?
No, I don't understand that, because depending upon kids are going to make mistakes. They're going to do what they do. To be quite honest with you, I know adults that we used to hang out at their house, and they, like, you know, would kind of look the other way while we were being idiots. But right. On the same token, I mean, you know, like, just something simple the other day, a kid asked me, I'm stupid, I still smoke cigarettes, and a kid asked me for a cigarette. He must have been 15 or 16, and I was like, nah. And he's like, come on, man, be cool. And I was like, cool? Like, what do you know about cool? First of all, you're 16. Second of all, don't smoke. You end up like me, paying $6 a pack every other day for the damn thing.
Come to New York, it's 11.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But
that's why you moved.
that and a few other things.
Right. But I hear where you're coming from, because I think, though, that disconnect is a very real disconnect, because you don't want anything to happen to your kids. You want to make sure that everything is in a controlled, you know, we want our children's failure to be controlled, right? We want everything to be something that we can, you know, we don't want our kids to be hurt, and we don't want them to have trouble. But at the same time, you know, you're opening yourself up to so much calamity by allowing underage anything at your house. But the sex thing is the craziest thing. I mean, first of all, if I found out my kid was having underage sex, you know, if you were hosting a party, my kid was having sex at your party, I'd be like, what is going on? And what, you know, it raises the creep factor like 17 notches.
No, that's for sure. But you know what? I'll tell you what most people's problem is. Most people want to be their kid's friend. I don't want to be my kid's friend. And I tell my kids, I'm your dad, first and foremost. I'm your father. I'm your parent. You will respect me until you're 18 years old. I don't crack the whip or make them stand at parade rest or nothing like that. But they know that I'm not out just for them to, you know, shoot me a like on, you know, Facebook or something like that.
See, my problem is none of the other kids want to be my kids' friends. That's what I'm working on.
That's even better. That's
right. No, but I hear what you're saying, though. There's a tendency that you want to overcompensate, and you want your kid, especially, you know, if it's a divorce or there's a situation where you don't get to spend as much time as you want to with the kids, there is a tendency to want to overcompensate by being, you know, the coolest guy in the world, the time you spend with your kids, the memories. Maybe you don't have those memories with mom and dad, and you want memories with your kids. So it somehow devolves into this thing where it's like, remember the time I smoked my first joint with my dad? Like, that should never, ever happen. That shouldn't be a story that we share.
No, that's definitely not a thing, and I wouldn't want to make it a thing with my kids. You know, it's got to be something, you know, like legit. I'm not like a hunter or a fisher or nothing like that, but, you know, something like that. But we're not going to talk about the first time we blazed up together and, you know, started looking at Cheetos and going on trips with that weird tiger.
Right. The weird type. There's a lot going on. My favorite part of the Texas Terry call is the subtext of the Texas Terry call. You know, you always know what's happening behind the scenes. Hey, Terry, you stay safe, man.
All right. Be good, yeah.
All right. You take care. Army-Navy game this weekend. You know what the Army-Navy game is, by the way? Nobody enlisted cares about the Army-Navy game. It's only the officers that went to West Point or Annapolis. Everyone else is just like, it's another football game. The Army-Navy game is the military saying to America, see, we're just like you. We play football, right? But nobody, you're not just like them, because all these men are going to end up being in harm's way very soon. But nobody, if you asked an enlisted guy or a vet, hey, who do you got, Army-Navy? We're going to be like, who cares? You know, it's a football game. We're more worried about IEDs and sniper fire, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm actually surprised at how well Army and Navy football teams do some years, because you figure that these guys aren't top-tier football talent.
No. No, they're not. And you'd be surprised at how woefully. I mean, when Army would play UB, I'd be like, before UB was actually a decent football program, it was a win for UB because the Army was, you know, just the way it was. Hey, we're going to talk. I'm going to move over to China, if I could. There's a story coming out of China and some threats by the Chinese government. This fascinates me. I love this stuff. We're also watching the George H.W. funeral. This seems to be going. The McCain thing lasted a little too long. This one, we're finally putting the 41st president. He will be buried shortly. And there was a long train that went from College Station all the way. Well, it actually ended up at College Station, but they put the body on a train, and there's all these wonderful ceremonies going on, and people are paying their respects. And we'll talk a little bit about George H.W. Bush's legacy and this story of China, this company that is we just arrested a CFO of one of a major Chinese corporation, and now the Chinese government is threatening American CEOs. What is going on? This went from a trade war to maybe a shooting war. Who knows? Thank you very much, Alan, and thank you, Phil Kennedy. I also want to thank Sean Murphy taking your calls. Good calls out there. There is a company in China. Now, the English, I guess English we would say Huawei, but it's actually the correct pronunciation is Huawei. Huawei is the actual pronunciation of this company. And this Huawei, it's spelled Huawei. It is one, they make some of the worst televisions ever made. If you've ever like gone overseas, and they make like those 40-inch screen LCDs, headphones, and everything stereotypical about Chinese-made products. These are made by North Korean slaves. They're not good products. Okay. They're sold in Walmart. They're sold in, you know, big box stores everywhere else. But it's one of the major companies in China, and it's subsidized by the Chinese government. By the way, the Chinese have that weird hybrid between, you know, communism and capitalism. And it's a dangerous hybrid because you don't have any of the civil liberties of a free society, but yet they like money. They just don't want, you know, the citizens that are able to make money have, you know, the thumb of the government over their shoulders all the time. Well, their CFO, their chief financial officer, was arrested in Canada and by the American government. The Canadians took her in Vancouver and handed her over to American authorities. And the Chinese are going crazy over this. Now, what was the crime this CFO committed? The crime was that she is working with her company and the Chinese government with the Iranian government, which the UN and everyone else has come across the board and said, we have a deal. Even the Iran deal that currently stands, even though it's being ripped up, they're violating that. They're not supposed to be making these deals, and they're doing it anyway. There's also allegations that they're making deals illegally against the UN charter with North Korea. So the Trump administration said, hey, we're not messing around. We don't care who you are. You're under arrest. And they arrested the CFO of one of the largest companies in China. Now, the Chinese have responded by saying, we are going to take hostages. American corporations, if you are in China, the Chinese government now is saying it's open season. We'll take your American CEOs and CFOs into custody. And people, you know, on the left, obviously anti-Trump people are saying, see, this is what happens when you have trade wars. Well, I want to remind you, we're burying a guy, George H.W. Bush. And, you know, when I was growing up at my age, I remember Ronald Reagan, but George H.W. Bush was, you know, at that time that he became president, it was a time that I regard him to be the first real president that I paid attention to because of my age. And George H.W. Bush had something happen in 1989 that we all watched live on television. It was the Tiananmen Square uprising, where you had people in China that wanted liberty, and they wanted they protested. They erected a Statue of Liberty made out of, you know, it was a beautiful exercise for about 5 days on national TV. And the Chinese government, a little different than it was today, where, you know, they basically the Chinese government is certainly no friend to democracy today. But back then, it was a little bit more totalitarian in the sense that if you consider China to be a closed society today, it was opaque, buried 75 feet under an oil well. That's how distanced they were from the open, free world of the West. And in 1989, the Chinese government broke up the Tiananmen Square uprising, and they did it violently. They did it with tanks, and they did it on national television, global television. And George H.W. Bush, who was the former ambassador to China under Richard Nixon, and that's not a small deal. Richard Nixon opened up China to the rest of the world. It's one of the things Nixon will always be remembered for, is the way he worked with China. But again, this situation in China, it's developing now. It's a very serious situation. We're going to go and talk about that after this break. And a little bit about what's happening. We'll also take your calls. 803-0930, star 930. We come back. We're going to give away another pair of tickets to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So you want to be paying attention after 5:30. We're going to take a break. We come back. More of the big program. 803-0930, star 930. We're going to talk about China. They're threatening to take hostages, American CEOs, in retro, to get back for what the Americans just did by taking a CFO from one of the major Chinese companies into custody, in American custody, for illegally making deals with Iran. More, so much more after this. Welcome back to Bowerly and Bellavia. We're talking about George H.W. Bush. He's being laid to rest as we speak. Beautiful ceremony. We saw George W. Bush, former president, giving a just a very touching eulogy. And I go back to 1989. That was one. I mean, listen, huge fan of George H.W. Bush, and never looked at his presidency and thought, this was a bad time for America. The economy crashed under his watch, and he paid for that by losing the election to Bill Clinton. But the Tiananmen Square thing really bothered me as a young guy. It still bothers me today. And the reason why it bothers me is that according to the Chinese government at the time, 0 to 300 people were killed in Beijing during the Tiananmen Square uprising. The actual declassified files from the CIA, in 2014, the government declassified the Tiananmen Square death estimates, and they have 10,454 people killed and 40,000 injured during that time. The Chinese government, they weren't so upfront with those estimates. But the fact that George H.W. Bush, who was the former ambassador to China, who helped open up China to the world under Richard Nixon, and was president of the United States and CIA director, before that, why he did nothing to China after the Tiananmen Square situation, to me, was a very, the media didn't care. No one seems to remember that in the legacy. That is probably the darkest of the mistakes that I think George H.W. Bush would have liked to have had back. But to put that, the reason why I'm bringing that up is the juxtaposition of what Donald Trump has done by literally arresting the chief financial officer for one of the large, it would be the equivalent of Microsoft. If, Bill Gates was arrested in China for, working out some deal that he shouldn't be working out, people in the United States would be like, what's going on here? Well, the United States has said, do not make back deals with Iran. Do not make back deals with North Korea. We're the United Nations, the Security Council, we're speaking as one voice, one global voice. And China's like, I don't care. We're going to do side deals with Iran. We're going to get their oil. We're going to do side deals with North Korea. We're going to do what we want. Well, Trump has said no, and we're going to arrest your CFO from this large company who's making back deals. I give him a tremendous amount of respect. It takes a tremendous amount of intestinal fortitude. And China has responded by saying, yeah, maybe we're going to take some people into custody, too, that work for American companies in China. Now, it's not fun. It's not fun when you stand your ground and you try to assert yourself. And we're seeing that happen in real time. We also had some news happen over in today. The Buffalo News has a story Bob McCarthy wrote about Stefan Mihailu. Mihailu has now said officially he will not run against Mark Poloncarz in the Erie County executive race. And, look, I was obviously I'm close with Stefan. I consider him a friend. I always will. He's a really good guy, and I like him a lot. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. But everyone scratched their head. He's always been close with the Collins group, with the Collins team. And it was very, you know, very accurate, his political prognostication of when Collins was going to suspend his campaign was almost perfect. Many thought a little too perfect that he is close with Collins and maybe he knew something beforehand. But again, he jumped into that race. Erie County Executive or Erie County GOP Chairman Nick Langworthy, he thought he had a candidate against Mark Poloncarz. He thought that candidate was Stefan Mihailiu. Mihailiu is now saying, I don't want to run for county executive. I'm going to wait in the on-deck circle for Collins to basically go to jail, get indicted, or resign. So does that mean that Collins is going to do one of those three things? Well, we know the trial's coming up in the summer, and we know that there's a possibility that Collins doesn't even show up in January. He might resign from office, and we have a special election. And Mihailiu's doing his best to basically tell that field of 15, I'm the guy. I want to do this. It's mine. I'm declaring it. That's what I want. And whether or not anyone else jumps into that race, if everyone else is going to say, okay, Stefan, this is yours to run, go ahead and have at it. What do the Democrats do? I'll tell you who I would keep my eye on is Kathy Hochul for the Democratic Party. I think Kathy Hochul is definitely measuring curtains, and she's got a lot of money. She's got the name recognition. I think she did a lot of damage by aligning herself in this district with Governor Cuomo and being the lieutenant governor of the state of New York. But understand this, this New York 27, as it stands right now, one term in this district at R+11. You've got a democratically controlled Senate in New York. They're going to redistrict, and New York 27 will not be R+11. New York 27 will be more like R+3, if it even exists. They might merge it with a little bit of Higgins's district. They might decide to take it south in the southern tier and mess around with Reed's district. But the one thing for certain is that it will not be the same district that it is currently. And that makes it much more, I think, appetizing for a Kathy Hochul, maybe a Nate, maybe Nate jumps back in this thing as the Democratic nominee. Who knows? But Mihailiu is saying right now, I don't want to run against Mark Poloncarz for Erie County Executive. I want to hold out and wait for my chance to run in New York 27. And now you got Langworthy who's sitting there saying, well, I had a guy. This was my guy to run County Executive. What do I do now? The race is in 2019. It's next November. So everyone's going to look at Chris Jacobs, and they're going to look at his bank account and say, hey, Chris, why don't you take a stab at Mark Poloncarz? But again, if you're Mark Poloncarz right now, you're buying another SUV on the county dime. You're looking good if you're Mark Poloncarz, because really the guy that everyone was locking, standing behind was going to be Mihailiu. And Stefan Mihailiu, a very aggressive campaigner. I mean, he was going out against Nate McMurray and accusing Nate McMurray of, being a Manchurian candidate. I mean, he was running against Nate McMurray when he wasn't even the guy, but he will be aggressive. We were hoping that aggression would have been towards, Poloncarz in a county executive race. It's not going to happen now. He's telling the Buffalo News, I'm going to focus on New York 27, whatever Collins does. And if you're one of those armchair prognosticators of politics locally, you're thinking, what does he know about Chris Collins? Is Chris Collins going to step aside? And how does the Stefan Mihailiu, very strong name recognition in Erie County, how does that play in the flyover counties in Genesee, Livingston, Orleans, Wyoming? How does that work in Monroe County? And how does that work in Ontario County? Is that enough? And what does this district look like after the 2020 election? Because that is the last R+11 you're going to see in New York 27 for another 10 years. That with the Democrats running, the judges in the state of New York, I believe, lean left. But what the state Senate does, and that is now under the control of the Democratic Party, you can guarantee that the one thing they're going to cut up is an R+11 district. An R+11 district, which, by the way, in the last four races, Collins won by under 1%. He was very close with Kathy Hochul. It was a nail-biter with Nate McMurray. You know, is Mihailu the candidate that can make that what it should be, which is a victory that should be at least a 15-point victory in an R-plus-11 district, you would think. Who knows? But we will keep our eye on that as well. We talked a little bit about the Chinese situation. I'm just fascinated by that story, the fact that you have so many folks that, you know, the Chinese making threats. We took a CFO into custody for making deals with Iran. Many, many warnings. She went to Vancouver. The Canadian authorities took her into custody and extradited her to the United States, where she awaits trial. And the Chinese are not happy with that. We're also keeping our eye on your drive home. We know that some of the roads are slippery. There's, it seems to have cleared up in the North Town. There was some large, flaky, windy snow. That it appears to have moved. Alan's got the updates on all of that, and we'll keep you updated all throughout 7 o'clock and beyond that with news, traffic, and weather. But again, the fifth caller at 644-9875, 644-9875, gets a pair of tickets to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Ghost of Christmas Eve, Saturday, December 15th at 3 p.m. Would you want to go? Have you ever been to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Not in about 16 years.
I've heard it's extremely loud. When I was a young father, I took my three-year-old son to Sesame Street Live, right? I could not believe how loud Sesame Street Live was. It was like a Metallica concert. It was unbelievably loud, and it, you know, the kids were going crazy. It was
same
nuts.
With Disney on Ice.
Not fun at all. Like, why do they have this up to, you know, 11? Everything was so loud and obnoxious, I couldn't take it anymore. So then I went to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I was like, that is louder than Sesame Street Live. That is one of the loudest, you know, events I think you could possibly see. I don't know if there's a rock band or any other performer that's going to blow you away like that, but the Trans-Siberian Orchestra should be sponsored by, you know,
Bose nose canceling headphones,
something, or yeah, I was gonna say the audiologist of Bowerly's sponsor, you know, get them into the action. But it's pretty crazy. And we talked a little bit about the situation in Lewiston with parents and whatnot. We'll take your calls 803-0930 star 930 1-800-616-WBEN. Erie County passed a law making it illegal to basically have opioids and alcohol at a place where other kids are, which is the way that reads is that it's okay to give your kids opioids if they're your own kids. And you can, of course, give alcohol to your children in moderation, you know, glass of wine. There's nothing wrong with that. You just can't have any, you know, we're not looking for Stevie Ray Vaughan cocaine coffee parties. We're not looking for, you know, Narcos Mexico. Have you seen that, by the way? The new season of Narcos. They have a...
No, it's on my queue. And
yeah, well, they just re-upped that for season two. They were going to extend that as the real Narcos, but they made it its own thing. And again, these are all based on real stories of the DEA and all the different exercises they went through when they were trying to break up the cartels. And they're still trying to do that, by the way. It's pretty nuts. 30 degrees in Buffalo, only 6 degrees colder than what this little girl had to walk to school in because she decided to be a bully for the second time. We talked about that earlier in the program with the father who decided to punish his daughter by making her walk in that temperature. You know, another breaking news, you know, the Buffalo Bills cut Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes, the two wide receivers. And they're going young. This big game coming up this week against the New York Jets. They're going to try out all these young people. Sports, again, who thought that we would be optimistic with both franchises after the years of just... But the Sabres went to overtime. Really, a game they should have won against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But again, the national attention the Buffalo Sabres are getting right now is incredible. But the most important thing is that they're talking about the fans. They're talking about the city of Buffalo. And this is why you have sports teams, to bring attention to what's happening in your own town. And the better the Bills and the Sabres become, the more attention that's going to be given towards us in our city that we love so much. So kudos to the Buffalo Bills for the attention Josh Allen's getting, the excitement of this new young team that's going to grow hopefully into a winner. one day, and the Buffalo Sabres, who I don't think anyone would have imagined in their wildest estimations that they would be this successful this year. I mean, Jeff Skinner has just had a great year, but it was Eichel, it was Austin Matthews, Toronto, Buffalo. Did you see the game by any chance, Phil?
The other game against Toronto the other night?
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking, but it was great. It was a great atmosphere. It was an exciting game, and it got a ton of attention.
Yeah, it's no longer a ghost town when you go to Key Bank Center anymore and the Sabres are there.
What is a ghost town is I saw the Rochester Amherst game on MSG the other day, and that was unbelievable. That
it's
looked
sad,
like
they're one of the best teams in the AHL right now.
They are.
They've always had poor crowds ever since I can remember.
But it looked like almost the people who went to the game looked like they didn't want to be there either.
I probably got free tickets from somewhere.
Oh, it was horrible. It was really sad. I mean, there was nobody in that arena. That looked like a game you would see in Miami, you know, with other things to do. But in Rochester, and they need a new building. That building is horrible. War Memorial Arena.
Apparently, the Pugulas just got awarded the building so they can renovate it and stuff. So hopefully that happens.
Well, that seems like you're putting money in a shredder. You know, I'd rather host a party in Lewiston. Too soon? No, I don't know what I would. I think that's a waste of money. I really do. That maybe Rochester doesn't deserve a hockey team or a soccer team or a baseball team.
Hey, leave the Red Wings out of this.
No, but seriously, though, Rochester is a sports town, and it's sad to see no one support those teams because there's a lot of talent on that young Rochester Amherst team. This Olofsson kid looks really good. And, of course, all the other, Sabres draftees and stuff, they're doing well. But no one's there to see it. So if your young people are doing well and no one sees it, did it really happen? No, it did not. It's like the tree falling in the forest. What do you do?